so much to talk about. I'm really struck, actually, having after Caroline spoke, picking up on the importance of naming. I mean, in fact, your job title, and Joshua now talking about the name of a place as an artistic act. But before we sort of burst into conversation about that, I'd like to hand over to Sean Gregory for the next publication.
Thanks very much. I'll try and be brief so we can open this up into questions and discussion. My background is as a musician. I went through a formal training route which took me to a point where I knew I wanted to be in the arts, I wanted to be in education, I wanted to connect to people and society. And at that time, it was very hard to find a way into that world. And it was by chance that I stumbled across what was then a very new course at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama in the late 80s, which was all about the musician in society. Now, this wasn't unique. It was just as things were starting up across the art sector, as we know, and in education, where participation in the role of the artist was beginning to become more important. And that was building already on about 20 years of fantastic work that was going on across the community art sector. Now, I'm mentioning all of that just to acknowledge this has been going on, as we know, for quite a long time. And the notion of community artwork, doing things, making things, musically, artistically, dance-wise, whatever, has been going on for a long, long time, centuries in fact. And not every now and then, gradually, slowly, organically, the definitions of these things evolve according to the society in, the context we're in, the cultural landscape we are in, the locality, the nationwide situation, the global situation. And that is what I feel we are going through at the moment. And it's not suddenly happening now. This is something that has been happening over time. And perhaps we are coming, as was suggested earlier, the time is now. It's almost a tipping point, pardon for using that phrase, where we need to push into the next phase. And I feel that what Artworks is trying to do as part of a wider effort, it's not the sole effort, it's part of an effort to try and help us as a sector, as a community of artists, as a community of people, as society, to push to the next phase of what arts can be in all its manifestations across people, across society, across the world. I ended up as a workshop leader in a sort of something that I could never explain. I can still never explain. My parents, till their deathbeds, could still never really understand what I did, but were happy to see that I enjoyed doing what I was doing, and they could see that it was having a positive impact. It is a privilege to be part of that sector, to be part of that world, be it now in a more distant managerial role as I am, where I still apply, I feel, my workshop skills. My working life as a parent, as a director of creative learning, every now and then as a practitioner, is one big workshop. You never quite know what's happening next. Life is like that, we know that. But sometimes the arts can help to express that and manifest it in a way that we can relate to things, understand things a bit better, and progress as humankind. I'm sorry to be so grand in one sense, but I think these are, for me, fundamental things as to why I do what I do, and dare I say why we think about what we do and try and move it on all the time. I just to touch again on this, the last 20-25 years, out of this I also feel a new culture has emerged, not just because of this field of practice we're talking about. It came about as a response to what was happening in Margaret Thatcher's Britain in the 1980s. It was a dynamic and revolutionary and much needed response to what was going on. And dare I say, the harnessing of that happened in the 80s has been a very positive thing. We're at a point now where we need to challenge and revisit that again and move it on to the next phase. At the same time, we need to be realistic, we need to be practical, we need to manage expectations, and through the combination of those two things, being bold, driving to the next stage, taking a risk, we also combine that with reality and with being realistic in the way we move that onto the next stage. So, having referred also to this situation of never being quite able to describe what I do, maybe we, as practitioners in our sector, haven't always been able to best describe what we do. And maybe that's true of the arts world per se, not just work in participatory settings. And I think now is the opportunity, without turning it into something that becomes totally prescriptive, and that, you know, here's the book, this is what we do. I don't think any of us would really want that. At the same time, we're in a situation where we do need to be able to give it some roots, some solid foundation, so that this becomes not just something that might keep going for the next 5 or 10 years, but that something is going to carry on through this century and beyond. And in 100 years' time and beyond, it's something that people look back on in the same way that we still often look back at, say, 19th century Western culture, and we recognise this as a time that had huge impact in developing us as people and society. So how are we going to do that to help make this case of work? How are we going to maybe start to achieve that through artworks, but also through these sorts of dialogues and debates, and through the activity and the work we continue to do through thick and thin, through all the funding challenges, through all the other sorts of things we have to deal with? It's going to keep going. We just need to find the best ways of achieving things and then starting to express it so as many people understand it as possible. So the artist leader of the future, I feel there have been some fantastic definitions already about what an artist is, what a leader is, be it from a personal perspective, from an organisational perspective, from a network perspective. We need to start to connect these things as much as possible. As Suzanne said at the start of the morning, it's about joining things up. It's about recognising what's there already and really starting to work those things up together. And we talk very broadly often about partnerships and networks. We're being told to work in partnerships and networks. I think, put that aside, there is a fundamental belief that we should work together and that we should start to express things more collectively. We just need to be able to start to define a common language, a common set of definitions, not that we're bound to hook, line, and sinker, but that we, and more importantly, the outside world, begin to be able to hang on to so that we can move on to the next stage. Another part of this is obviously the creativity, which has been talked about a lot within that. And I would just combine creativity and collaboration together here. Even if it's the artist working on their own in a situation and the fine art end of things, or it's a group of people making something organically, collectively in the moment, the notion of creativity and collaboration are at the heart of that. And obviously the portfolio roles an artist takes within that as a creator, a leader, a teacher, and there's a lot of good stuff to be explored between the difference between a leader and a teacher, and a performer as well, or an exhibitor, all of those things play into that area. So the more we can start to define that and represent that as part of the role of the artist of the future, the better. And really, just to finish off as a sort of last train of thought, I sort of just wanted to emphasize, I hope it's coming across already, but we are doing this. I think we are doing this as a sector. We are doing this as a country. Maybe we can't always best explain it to our governments or to our peers or to our line managers or to people in arts, but actually we are an international phenomenon. This is what, there is real interest in what is going on culturally in this country and what we do. Yes, there's the cultural industries things, but this is something more dynamic, more different that we're talking about. This is something that's really going to have an impact on how we coexist and work and think together in the future. So a key part of that, I think, is the genuine connection and integration between what we often call learning and participation work or engagement work with the sort of hardcore artistic programming that goes on through organisations. Now that is happening, whether we see it in large organisations, small organisations, or the way artists think themselves individually or collectively. There's less differentiation now. It's not education as a bolt-on to something that's higher and finer that we need to follow and sort of justify the existence for. Those two things are coming together and they must continue to do that. And we certainly hope through artworks it's going to contribute to that process. The development of what Asana has called a golden thread of lifelong learning, just a pathway, to use the Paul Hamlin terms, over the last 20, 25 years, a lot of young people in particular, as well as adults, have experienced this extraordinary creative, collaborative, engaging work, whether it's through a school, a local group, or something they're doing already, and this is introduced as an additional experience. What are we doing with that experience? What impact, long-term impact, is that work, this work that we offer, having on those people, not only in terms of how it enhances their own life experience, but in terms of what they can go on and do in the future, particularly if they want to go on into the arts. The expression of what they see us do, more and more people are saying, I want to be doing that. And it isn't necessarily that they want to go on and learn the violin and practice for 8 hours a day on their own, or sit in a studio and just paint. There's nothing wrong with that. That is part of our sector and our heritage, and it should continue. But there is this whole new paradigm, this field of practice going on, that we are engaging hundreds and thousands of people with on a weekly basis. How do we harness that and ensure that people who want to move on with that experience and move on to a next stage, be it just through a more sustained project experience, through some form of training and development that might lead them into further education, into higher education, and if they do get that far, are there the courses and programs available that they can go on and do in a way that's suitable and appropriate to their needs? And that isn't a sort of third best to the real course that goes on in that college or university. These are the responsibilities we have now to address. I think we are doing it, but we need to start to think more and more collectively in a joined up way to make sure it really happens. And obviously that can then go on beyond into early, mid and later year career work as well. The continuing professional development network, which again we have fantastic work going on, the more we can harness it now, the better. And finally, I just want to say the best way to put this first is that we put people first and foremost. Forgive me if that seems rather obvious, but we can get very caught up, and I do it on a daily basis. You think through your organisation, you think through your sector, and everything that, all the immediate references that come around that. That's important, of course, but the more we get back to that grassroots level scenario of where, as was described earlier, you're in a primary school or you're facing people such as I am now or we are on each other, and think of it on that basis, then we will start to move things on. And then this field of work, this field of practice that has grown so steadily and so magnificently in the last 25 years or so, can really start to speak to the public per se across the board. Thank you.